Hello, this is Eddie Duke. Welcome to the weekly podcast at Panther Creek Baptist Church. You know, Jesus Christ is an amazing person. As I look at our culture today, I'm convinced the absolute only hope for this world in which we live is Jesus Christ. And every week, I will introduce you to messages that will communicate this hope that we have in Christ. I'm thankful that you've taken the time to catch us here this week. It means a lot to me that you would tune in, and I would love to hear from you. And now, here is this week's broadcast.
Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Before we begin tonight, let me just explain what we're going to do. We're going to look at what the Bible says about hell. If we're talking about Hoosier 1, last week we talked about the need to really believe that there are people that are lost and what's going to happen to them. And we also have a need to talk about hell and discuss hell if we're really going to do a serious lesson and serious conversation about these people that are apart from God and what happens to them. And so tonight I want us to look at what the Bible says about hell, and then I want us to look at what is good about hell, because there's going to be some good things about hell. And you're looking at me like, what could be good about hell? Well, there's going to be good things in hell. And we're going to look at that tonight, at the close of this. So, and it's a play on words. It'll all come clear here in a moment. But are there any testimonies about Hoosier 1 and maybe the one you've been praying for? If you've been following along the book, you know that we stopped this past week. So day 30, we finally arrived at day 30. Stopped it this week. You can continue to use your book and pray for your one, but we're going to reset. Starting January 1st. And I'm thinking at the end, I've been thinking about this, so we're going to have a staff meeting tomorrow in which we plan the year and talk about all the calendar events that we have for the year. But I'm thinking about the end of January, having somebody come for that day. We didn't do a revival for the fall, but I thought about the last Sunday in January, maybe we could make that a good day to invite your one. Have your one come to church that day. We could have a guest speaker. I've got somebody in mind already if that person will come. But we'll have a guest speaker that day, and that'll be the Sunday. That'll be Invite Your One Sunday. We don't have to tell them, hey, we're doing this, but we can make sure that we invite everybody that is our one for that Sunday to come. So we're going to do that beginning in January. But are there any testimonies, people have about, as they've been talking to people, praying for people, things that you're seeing? All right, well, let's read here, beginning in verse 19 of Luke chapter 16. Before we read this, I probably need to do my disclaimer. I do this every time I speak on this passage, because some people read this passage and they say, what makes this any different than any other parable that Jesus taught? Well, I don't believe that this is a parable that Jesus is teaching here. I believe this is an actual event. These are actual characters. And the main reason I believe that is because if you look at all the parables that Jesus taught, Jesus never used names. He never used real names. In this account, he is using actual names. Now, why is that significant? Well, that's significant because, I think when I've talked about this before, I've used Muhlenberg County as an example. But if I were to get up here and say, I had a revival last week in Muhlenberg County, and in Muhlenberg County, while I was at this revival, there was a person by the name of John Smith who walked the aisle and surrendered his life to Christ. And you're sitting here, and John Smith just happens to be a relative of yours, and you come up after me after the service and say, "Boy, Eddie, I'm so excited. John Smith, Greenville, Muhlenberg County, he went to this church." I said, yeah. I can't believe he walked the aisle and surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. I just think that is great. I've been praying for him a long time. What would you do if I said at that moment, "Wait a second, no, I just made up that name. That didn't really happen. That was just a made-up account." Well, you'd look at me and go, "No, that's not right." Well, that's why here we can accept the fact that when Jesus used actual names, he was talking about actual people in this account. So a lot of people don't want to accept the fact that, yeah, this is a real account and hell's real, but this it is. As a matter of fact, if you look at the latest statistics about Americans, in 2001, 71% of Americans surveyed said that they believed in hell. Today, 58% of Americans surveyed say they believe in hell. So it's actually been decreasing for a little while now. 86% of all Protestants, Protestant denominations, 86% still say that they still believe in hell. And it kind of drops off from there. Except that the next highest, you know what the next highest denomination or the next highest religion is that believes in hell? 76% of them, 76% of Muslims believe in hell. Buddhist is like 32%, so it really drops off. But it's really interesting. But what do people believe about hell? What do people believe about hell? Well, they believe it's a place where bad people go. People really accepting the fact. If I've heard this once, I've heard it a million times. I've heard people say, when somebody goes and does a school shooting, I remember that person who shot those elementary school kids in Connecticut. If you remember that, I heard over and over from several different people, there is a special place in hell for that person because we want to believe that people who do bad things go to hell, and that's exactly what hell is for, that hell is for bad people, and that's the number one thought. But a lot of people, even when they say that, ask this question, but I just can't believe that a loving God, have you ever heard this? A loving God would send anybody to hell. What do we say when people say that? Well, we take them back to the Bible. What's the verse right after John 3:16? The verse right after John 3:16 is, you're right, Linda, John 3:17. Sorry, Linda, I just had to. John 3:17 says, but Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but that through Jesus we might be saved. So we can't deny that God doesn't send people to hell. Hell was never created for people to go to hell. Hell is a place for Satan and his demons to go to hell, to be forever. But people, when they reject God, go to hell. So that's the normal answer, that, God didn't send anybody to hell. Before I was saved, I was doing a pretty good job of myself, condemning myself to hell. God wasn't sending me there. I was taking care of that, and all of us, we could say that for. So tonight, I want us to see what the Bible says about hell, and then I want to see the good things in hell, because we are going to see those, and then we'll be done. But beginning with verse 19, Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen, and who lived each day in luxury. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus who was covered with sores. As Lazarus lay there, longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the poor man died and was carried by the angels to set beside Abraham at the heavenly banquet." I don't care how many times I preach this, I always just get shivers when I read this next part. "The rich man also died and was buried, and he went to the place of the dead. There in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side." Just let that sink in, that people are dying and lifting up their eyes in hell. That was really what it's saying there. Verse 24 says, "The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is here being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one could cross over to you from here, and no one could cross over to us from there.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote.'" Then verse 30 says, "The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham.'" This is something, and I'm going to bring this out here in just a little bit, but isn't it interesting that of all the atheists and all the agnostics that we have in this world today, of all the people that don't care anything about God, notice what this man says in hell in verse 30. He says this, "But if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will repent of their sins and turn to God. There are no atheists in hell. Isn't it interesting that if he would have prayed that prayer when he was alive, he never would have been in hell? He prayed a prayer that was exactly what he needed to keep himself out of there. Verse 31 says, "But Abraham said, if they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't be persuaded even if someone rises from the dead." So real quickly, we don't have our clock tonight, so I don't know how I'm doing. And I know this is being recorded. I told Doug, oh my goodness, this is a terrible one to record. But we're going to put this one on the podcast, and I wish we could have done this morning on the podcast in some way. But real quickly, here's what the Bible says about hell. Number one, hell is eternal. The simple truth of all existence today, the simple truth of the impopulation of the entire world, is that there's only two destinations that people are going to spend eternity. We are either going to spend eternity in heaven or we are going to spend eternity in hell. And the first thing we see about hell is this: hell is forever. Hell is forever. Number two, hell is a place of pain. Look at these words that says here. In verse 23, it says, "And he went to the place of the dead, there in torment." In verse 24, it says, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I am in anguish in these flames." And then in verse 28, he says again, "For I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." So we see, not only will we spend eternity in hell, we will spend eternity in pain. It is a place of pain. Number three, it is a place of sadness. Did anybody ever read, I never read this book, but there's a book called, it's Dante, it's called Divine Comedy. Divine Comedy, and it's about an author who actually goes through hell. I know it's fiction, but he goes through hell to get to heaven. And as he's going through different places in hell, there are signs as he's going through these different chambers, and above these chambers, it has a sign, and the sign says this: "Abandon hope, all you who enter here." There is no hope. It is a place of sadness. That is why the rich man says in verse 24, he says, "Father Abraham, have some pity." Why would he say have some pity? Because it is a very sad place. Please have some compassion for people that are here. It is a sad place. Number four, hell is a place of fear. Hell is a place of fear. Look with me at verse 28. "For I have five brothers and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place of torment." He wanted to warn his brothers. Why? Because he was afraid that his brothers might come there to where he was. He lived in fear. It is a place of eternal fear. I don't know, can you remember what life was like before you became a Christian, before you were saved? Because I do. As a 13-year-old, I remember vividly what life was. Life was torment for me. I can remember on the night that I became a Christian, I probably have shared this with you, my testimony before. We were running late for the service. We had just ended up revival service. It was Central Grove Baptist Church. They're going on from Hartford to Centertown, Kentucky. Kentucky, of course. From Hartford to Centertown. And right there on the right-hand side, Central Grove Baptist Church. That's where I became a Christian. That's where I surrendered my life to Christ. But we just finished up revival, you know, and we'd gone out traveling. We'd gone out visiting. You know, we don't do that anymore, Diane. I don't know why I'm picking on you tonight, Diane. But we don't do that. You know how on Sunday afternoons we used to go visit everybody, you know? That's what we did growing up. And I remember going to visit family and everything like that. And I remember we weren't even planning on going back to church that night. And I remember telling my parents, "Can we please go back to church? I just got to get back to church." I thought at that time that I had to walk the aisle. If "Just As I Am" wasn't playing, I couldn't be saved. That's what I believed, you know, as 13 years old. And I just felt like we had to get back to church that night. And my stepfather was driving a little fast because we were running late. And I remember going around those curves as you go from Hartford to Centertown. Those curves are pretty dangerous. I remember thinking to myself, Sharon, you remember these. I remember thinking to myself, oh my goodness, if we crash right now, I'm going to go to hell. And I was scared to death as 13. You know, I remember fear. Hell is a place of fear. Number five, hell is a place of isolation. Verse 28 says, "For I have five brothers, and I want him to warn them so they don't end up in this place." Isn't it interesting that he, I don't know about you, but when I was a teenager or before I became a Christian, I used to think to myself, well, at least I'll have people to be with me. At least I'll have people that I can hang out with, you know. And sometimes people may think to themselves that maybe hell will be a place of fellowship, that at least we'll have our buddies that we'll hang out with, you know, at least we'll have people that we know that are going to hell too that we can hang out with. But nowhere do we find in the Bible that hell's ever talked about as a place of fellowship. You know, we were talking tonight about isn't heaven going to be sweet when we can get to heaven and talk to loved ones that have gotten there already and we can ask them about things. Loved ones maybe that we never met. Isn't heaven going to be sweet that we can get and talk to Bible characters that we've always wanted to ask them what life was like when they were going through the times that they were going through? Isn't it going to be sweet when we can have that fellowship in heaven? But right here, it's not saying, boy, I hope my brothers can come here so that we can hang out. No, what does he say? I want somebody to go warn my brothers so that they don't come here. There is no record of any fellowship or any people just hanging out. Why? Because hell will be a place of eternal isolation. Number six, I think is where I'm at now. Number six, it is a place of separation. A place of separation. As a matter of fact, Abraham says to him in verse 26, he says, "And besides, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over to us from there." Make no mistake, one of the worst things, if not the worst thing about hell, will be eternal separation from God. You know, I've often thought about here on earth, we enjoy the blessings of God, no matter if we believe in God or not, because we live in God's creation. We live in a world that God has had a hand in, that God still has a hand in, and we benefit from those blessings. But in hell, we will be eternally separated from anything that is of God. It's eternal separation. I mentioned that there's good things. There'll be good things. That's what the Bible says about hell. But here's the good things in hell. Number one, good people are in hell. Good people are in hell. Sometimes that's very hard for us to believe. We don't want to believe that. We want to think to ourselves that, you know what, hell's a place for bad people. But I believe hell's a place for good people that never put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And let's face it, there are some good people that are better than a lot of proclaiming Christians. You know, good people will still go to hell if they have not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This rich man was a good person. You say, Eddie, how can you say he was a good person? Well, I believe he was a good person because he allowed Lazarus to hang around his gate. I mean, that was obviously one of the sweet places to find money, to find handouts. I mean, you want to be at a place where a lot of wealthy people are going to come and go. So this rich man never once said, you know what, what would you do tonight if you went home and on your driveway there was a homeless person out there asking for money? And he was just hanging around, or she was hanging around all night. I think eventually you'd probably call the police. You'd probably look to find some way to get them off your property. But not once do we see that this rich man ever did that. He never had him removed. He allowed him to stay. So at least you could say that he was good in the sense that he allowed this guy to kind of hang around his property. In some ways, there were good things about him. I believe that there are going to be good people in hell. Another good thing that we see in hell is this. I believe that there is good vision in hell. Verse 23 says, "And he went to the place of the dead, there in torment." What did he see? He saw Abraham in the far distance with Lazarus at his side. In hell, he had good vision where he could look and see how things could have been if he would have just surrendered his life to Jesus Christ. I believe there'll be good vision in hell. I believe there's going to be good prayers in hell. Verse 24 says, "Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames." And we just saw in verse 30, where the rich man understood that if he would have repented, if his brothers could repent of their sins and turn to God, they won't have to come here. So there are good prayers in hell of people understanding now what it would have taken in order for them to not be there. Number four, I believe there's good memory in hell. I don't believe you have a memory in heaven, because now you're living the reality of what we once had hope in. But in hell, I believe we'll have a memory. Because what does it say here in verse 25? In verse 25 it says, "But Abraham said to him, Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted." Remember, remember, remember. Our memories are amazing. And I believe they, you know, I said tonight, in discipleship training, I was talking to discipleship training, Lisa and I dated in high school. I still remember, Debbie, I remember the perfume that Lisa wore every day, and it drove me crazy. It did. Oh, I don't know. You remember this perfume, Debbie? It was C, C-I-E. That's the name of the perfume. Oh, what, Lisa. It's all good. It's all good, Lisa. I remember. I remember where we were when we listened to Air Supply songs. I remember, you know, I remember the things that we did. Our memories are amazing things, and they will continue to work in hell. I believe today there are people in hell that remember every sermon they ever heard. I believe they remember every time they sang "Just As I Am" and the pastor pleaded at the front, "Please, today, if you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, come now and surrender your life to Him." I believe we will always remember in hell every time we had that opportunity to follow Jesus, and we didn't. We see it here. Remember, remember, remember. Number five, there's good theology in hell. I told you before that I believe everybody's going to realize that God exists. There's no atheist in hell. Number six, there's good priorities in hell. He says here, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they come here." And then number seven, I believe there's good intentions in hell. I believe there's good intentions in hell, that there are people over and over that said over and over in their lifetime, "You know what, one day, I will do it. One day, when I'm finished with all the fun that I'm having, when I'm finished with everything that I'm doing, when I retire, when the kids leave home, when I settle down, I will surrender my life to Jesus Christ. Before I die, I promise you, I will surrender my life to Jesus Christ." I believe there are good intentions in hell tonight. That is what the Bible says about hell, and that's what we find that is good in hell. So let's think about that as we talk about and pray for those one that don't know Him this week.
Hey, this is Eddie Duke, pastor at Panther Creek Baptist Church. I hope this message was a blessing for you today. I want to let you know that we here at Panther Creek are a small church that are looking to make a big impact on our neighbors in our community with the love of Christ. If you're looking for a church home with which to serve and connect with, we would love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 for Sunday school and 10:30 for church. We'd also love to have you join us on Sunday evenings at 6:30. But if you can't join us, we hope you'll tune in every week and listen to us. Have a fantastic day.